then it also goes into a breakdown of what the taxes.
Not from this. Your laptop over there, you need to turn the volume down. You need to turn the volume down on your laptop because it's feeding back to the microphone here.
Nothing's ever easy.
Yeah, it's always fun.
So the statement will give the property owner an idea of what their new assessment is, what basically the taxes are going to be without any kind of change in the tax base. So it just helps them understand what's going on, because obviously somebody's going to see a 20-30% increase and be concerned that their taxes are going up that much. It also will show that they're getting any sort of exemptions. And then what will happen on the back of this, I will print my information about how they get in touch with me, what appointments are going to be, and what we're going to do if they want to review the assessment with me. These are a little hard to understand, but I just hope that the biggest thing that I would express it right to be looking at is the final column, which says market value. So it's going to say, well, what was the market value last year? I think you're at 80-some% versus what the market value was this year when you're at 100%. And that would really be the true difference in what whether or not your taxes went up or down. It's a standard letter. It's really done for most of the revaluations. The other thing that's happened is, and this one's going to be, in doing the reval, we had to get, the state gave us values for all the state-owned forest land. And they sent me the list, and I started entering them, and I immediately started looking and says, wow, big changes. So I contacted the state forest rep, and I said, you know, why are these some of these numbers so differently, vast differently than what they were last year, so much lower? And he really couldn't give me a good answer, which that was no surprise to me. But I think what happened was when NIMO sold all those properties to the state, the NIMO properties were being valued as riverfront properties. State now has said, well, they don't give a rat's behind about riverfront. They're just valuing as strict forest land. So they come up with a value for bare acreage. Then they come up with what they say is a value for the timber that's on it, add the two together, and that's where you get a number. All fine and dandy, but really what it boils down to, you're losing $2 million of assessed value. They also gave us the advisories for the utilities, and you picked up about $500,000 there. For whatever reason, the National Grid probably did some updates and stuff, and of course, when National Grid does an update, it doesn't get put on until you do a reval. Why, I don't know, but that's the way, I guess, you know, when you have money, money talks, and the rest of us walk. So that was, now the other, and I'll leave you a copy of these, what I printed out. The other thing that was interesting is you have a lot of state forest land is in old Section 8, which means it's wholly exempt. So the state doesn't pay nada. Okay, the biggest one would be the fish hatchery, which is in somewhere around $3.5 million. Then there's a couple out on 104 where there's some buildings. The rest of them, I have no idea why they're in old Section 8. And I have asked into the state, again, why would they be in old Section 8? Why wouldn't they at least be in forest values? Why wouldn't you be paying at least forest values on them? I haven't gotten any answer back. It went to your liaison here, and she's going to her higher ups to ask the questions. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen that much roll Section 8 property in the town. And that amounts to almost $9 million. But if you take away the hatchery and some of the other ones, which are around $4.5 million, now you're down to like $4.4 million that is state-owned forest and that they're not paying property tax on.
Aaron, I know you did like like a little background and work on that. Update why it's like.
I got that one. And that's about as far as I got.
I had notified from the county treasurer that New York State reforestation, it's not coming in yet. They haven't, the county hasn't paid that yet. They usually tell us, tell me what they've already paid and I just mark my books, but as of now, I haven't gotten any.
The only thing I do know is I was reviewing all this and I talked with a couple other real property directors that I know. Betsy's really good over in Oswego, but you know, she's a little green yet. I talked to a couple of the gentlemen that I know and some of the other county directors and you may get a transition on the state forest land that they are paying tax. And what a transition is, it will start to make up the difference of what they were paying, what they are gonna pay. What happens, it slowly gets reduced down to nothing over so many year period. I don't know exactly how long, but it's a way of, so you don't get hit with it all at once. It's kind of more of a gradual thing. So I've got, again, emails into them about it. They've responded saying they're talking and asking questions, so we'll see where that goes. But the rural section eight ones, I don't quite understand, especially all the, just about all the forest that's on 104 way out on the end of the town limits. All of it out there is rural section eight.
Paul, about a year and a half ago, Katie was gonna be working on a resolution to go in front of the legislature to treat the land Happy Valley, which is shared by Amboy Parish and Albion, to be taxed similar to like they do up in, it was Boyston. It's actually written in the real property law.
Yep.
Do you know if that's gotten anywhere at all?
They have brought it up with our legislators, but it hasn't progressed in the legislature out of committee the last time I heard.
Okay. This is something that there's multiple state lands in the Tug Hill region that are reimbursed by the state at different levels. There's land up in Redfield that's reimbursed a fair amount. And then there's lands like around here that aren't. So we came up with a resolution that each of the municipalities in Oswego County and the Tug Hill region adopted along with the two councils of governments representing those governments to, or Tug Hill to take with them to give to our legislative delegation to see if the legislation could be amended to get some reimbursement, a greater level of reimbursement to municipalities. And then of course, and we have done that, but then of course COVID came along and the state hasn't been real anxious to come up with more ways to distribute money than focusing on ways that they can use it to fight what they have to fight, so.
I know in our meeting in the beginning of January, Katie mentioned that it was gonna be tough.
So right now the climate is tough, but you know, surprising things happen sometimes. The main thing is because you have been behind that, we want to make sure, we did that when we met as a Salmon Rivers group, that the intention was that yes, it's something that we want to pay attention to and keep pushing on, because it certainly won't happen. The state is going to come out and spontaneously offer you more money for your state-owned lands if you're not asking for it. You can ask again and be polite about it, and they may say no again, but over time, if they know that you're persistently interesting and you're not gonna let it out of your, you know, out of your interests or what you as a community need, it may happen. But it won't happen if you forget about it. So I'm glad you brought that up here because that is something that we've been trying to do in concert, well, at the basically the direction of the towns in Oswego County or in the Tug Hill region and through the council government that represents them.
So I've got everything just about finalized with the values on the assessment records. So I'm going to contact the county and they'll probably be in the process of doing those letters. And then once those are processed, I will, I probably will take them to the Staples and have them printed out. And then we'll put a notice on the back. I'll get in touch with me for making appointments to review the assessment. I don't know at this time, if we start doing this in March, that if it's going to be a good idea to do one-on-one. I'll have a discussion with you back and forth before the letters go out, exactly what you guys want me to do. I would hope the majority of it would be per phone call. I can mail stuff to property owners. If they want to see the information, I can always put it in the, and throw it in the mail to them. I know last year I did the farm inspection, and that's what we did, we mailed stuff to them. And the other thing is, starting your next meeting will be probably, if the notices go out before your next town board meeting in March, I will not come. And the reason being is, if somebody's here complaining about the assessments, this isn't the forum for us to be discussing. And what I would stress any of you to do on the board, if you know of something, or if you've got problems, just email me. Hey, can you call this person, or can you call that one? They need to discuss something or whatever, and I'll look into it that way for you, and then get back to let you know the outcome of those meetings. When they do come into these meetings, we review everything. There isn't a determination made. They're sent a second notice, usually by in the first week of May. Then obviously everything after that would be through either a stipulation when I sit with the role or through agreements. So technically they do have two or three opportunities, and obviously they can also go to small claims. The commercial properties would end up having to go certiorari, but hopefully we won't have too many that go that way, because obviously it's going to cost all of us money to do that. So hopefully I can resolve most of those. The hotel, which was probably the biggest one, they've already agreed, I think, on the assessment. I don't think we're going to have any issues or problems with them. And the dollar store is, I didn't put it, it wasn't sold for it, even though it sold for $1.5 million or something. It sold. Yeah.
The Dollar General?
Yeah. You know why? Those things are a gold mine. What happens is a developer comes in, puts up the building, buys the land, and then they get a 20-year lease from Dollar General or whoever those are. They record it as a land and building sale, but really it's a 20-year lease sale. So the 20-year lease, which is probably ridiculous, and that's to somebody who thinks it's worth $1.5 million. I had one in the village of Spencer down in Cable County sold for it on the same thing, which most of them articulate to like $150 to $175 a square foot. And you and I both know that those buildings, if there's $60 to $70 a square foot in them, it would be a lot. So, I mean, they're way above what even the cost to build is. So, but that's the nature of the beast. The other ones like it is the drugstore. Drugstores, they're like $200 to $250 a square foot. Because the lease on those are just so phenomenal. And again, it's because it's ka-ching. It's money hand over fist sort of thing. I don't think I really have anything else that I can. These seniors, when I'm here, I have one more day here. The last day I was here, I only had like four or five people come in. I'm updating all the seniors automatically, knowing they have to come in, their assessments or their exemptions are being updated automatically. The enhanced people obviously don't have to come in because they're being monitored now by the state. The ag are the only ones I've really sent out. I think I've got most of those back. And I had one or two of the Amish had some problems with their ags, and I've got those straightened around. So everything else seems to be in pretty good shape. The other thing with the ag was I had to refigure those with the new assessments and everything else, but I got them all done, and they're all up to date on the system now. So, but before I mail these out, I will give you a heads up so you don't have to take your phone off the hook or something, whatever you want to do for a while. And I will print 1, 2, 3, 4. If you want, I will print out some sales and just give them to you guys so you have something to look at, just to, you know, not that you want to get into a deep discussion with somebody, but if somebody gives you a fairy tale, you can look through and see whether or not it's true or not true. And, you know, and there are some, you know, there's going to be some errors. So I just, you know, if there is something we need to address it and get it straightened out, I have no problem fixing errors. When you do this work, if you think you're 100% perfect, don't happen that way. So, you got any other questions from anybody?
So, you were here doing some with asked them sooner already, or was it?
I was here.
26.
Yeah, the 26th. And I had a couple of people come in with the ag, and I did have a couple of seniors come in, and I told them they didn't need to because the state passed the COVID response. But I don't have to meet with any of them. That, we just have, now, if it's a new one, in other words, somebody's income just fell below that line, or they just turned 65, then obviously they need to address it ASAP because it has to be done by before the 1st of March. But any ones that are already on in the books, those don't have to do anything. They're all set. I'm told by the state I have to automatically update with the incomes that are there. So those are all set. Anybody turning 65 this calendar year that's still getting the basic stylo needs to let me know so they can sign in for the enhanced part.
What about my husband's going to be 65, but he turns in September.
Okay, so you need to sign up for the enhanced part.
Even before his birthday?
Yeah, it's this whole year.
Okay.
So even if he turns 65 December 31st, you would still qualify.
Okay.
And that savings is a lot of money now. It's what? That'd be like $1,200?
It doesn't affect the time. Yeah.
No, it's only one or the other.
Right. I'll see you on the 22nd.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mike?
As I get answers from the state on some of this, I will shoot you some back and forth. Hopefully, they'll at least do a transition on the ones that are paying property tax, so it won't quite be a shock to the system.
So you are going to start having office hours weekly, a couple hours a week?
No, when these notices go out, what I'll do is I'll take appointments so people will know exactly when I'm going to be here. Like, if she calls and say, "Hey, Mike, I want to review my assessment. This is the time and date. I'll meet you or call you back." I'll set up all the appointments and then start reviewing it with people themselves. If I come in here, I think that's going to be a madhouse, because then you're just going to get people wandering in and out. If they call and make an appointment, we have a designated time that we're going to review this, then there won't have 20, 30 people backed up at the door.
Right. Yeah, let's be pretty cautious with COVID.
Yeah. That's what we do. That's normally what we do when we do a revaluation. You set up a phone bank for 4 or 5 days, let everybody call, make their appointments, then you start reviewing it with the people either. I mean, at that point, if somebody really does want to come in, I can come in the office, and what I'm going to do is probably put the table outside the door, let them sit there, and I'll be inside, and we can discuss it back and forth, and if they want me to print something out, I can print something out and give it to them, something like that. But everything will be by appointment, so there won't be a back couple of people just wandering around, which I think is going to be helpful to everybody, because obviously you don't want mass groups of people.
We're making copies when he commented that he, right on the back of a letter that's going out, is going to have his contact information.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we give that a try? And if we get a lot of complaints or comments, then we'll readdress it. How would that be?
Well, the other thing is, I'm here 4 days in May when I sit with you all, and usually I sit here twiddling my thumbs or talking with Amy, bugging her for a while. So, I mean, that's 16 or 20 hours that I'm here, that I have to be here because it's a state mandate. You know, that's another time that people can come in and go over stuff with me also. That, I mean, I am physically in the building at that time. And obviously there's grievance day, which this year probably might be a little bit longer than when it's usually we sit here and swap stories for the 3 hours and don't do a lot, but I imagine this year will be a little bit busier.
Well, the complaints that I've heard in the past is nobody's ever here. You're never here. And what they say is you never return their phone calls and or emails.
I would get the names, numbers of those, but I'd be interested to see who that is, because I answer my phone every day when I'm in Skinny Atlas or whatever my other places. I answer my phone from people that call me. And emails, my email address changed because it got hacked. So, but I haven't. I can look at my email right now. There's no unanswered emails on my email.
It's almost like I can see it. say what your email is now, because I've given it out so much during January.
Actually, there is one on answered email that I know of, and that's the one that I sent to you, requesting information about the eligibility for the, what do I want to say? Call it the guidelines for the poor exemptions.
I don't mind missing any mail from anything about the.
I will resend to you, and you'll see it.
Okay.
Maybe it's the wrong email, but it's the same one that you had been corresponding with.
And next little phrase.
I will look it up. I got it here, but I'm not online.
Yeah, you've never done anything with the raising the town level of the agent. Okay. Yeah, I think it's.
I've got it here now.
I think it's like 10, 11,000. It's really.
I thought, yeah.
It's very low.
Lower than 13, I can't remember.
The county is 20, I think. And the schools, I mean, at least probably should be as high as the school. The school's lower than the county, I think. Especially now that, I mean, property values have changed so much. And let's face it, if somebody's making $11,000 or $12,000, I don't know where they're going with that. To be really honest, I don't even know how they're surviving at that point.
No, let's give that a roll and let's see what happens. I'm sure we'll get calls, but not happy about that.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
I can make my report now if you want.
Okay.
Back to you. Pretty short report this month. I do have a couple things ahead that aren't on the sheet here. Tug Hill's still working at a 50% occupancy level in their offices, and sometimes less than that when people can work productively. Everybody's working full time, but some of it's from home. So that's what's happening there. Nothing's really changing in that. Governor's executive order allowing remote meetings and public hearings by means such as Zoom was extended one more time through February 26th. And glad to be able to help you with that. And my apologies for getting here late tonight. The roads were not as good as I expected. We've gotten, surprisingly enough, and it's usually the opposite. The roads are pretty covered down south. They're much better as I got closer to Albion. The State Committee on Open Government is holding virtual FOIL, which is Freedom of Information Law training, on Thursday, the 11th, from 10 to 11:30 a.m. They are looking for free registration and to go to the website. You can get that sign up. The things I don't have on here is I should mention that with us not doing the local government conference this year, because we're unable to, because we don't have facility to hold it, and we couldn't allow it even if we could, because we couldn't get as many people together as we have at the conference. We are working on conducting other training via Zoom and other ways, and with limited local attendance where the space is big enough for us to be able to do that. And I just had a meeting on that yesterday where we're working on subjects and dates for the second quarter of the year. So if you have any particular subjects, keep me in mind. I'd be happy to bring them to the folks at Tug Hill and see if we can get some traction on that. And the other thing that occurred to me as I was coming in is that I know of one community, that's the town of West Monroe, where they basically don't have their building generally open, but they've installed basically a video doorbell that when you push the button, there is a connection with the town clerk's office, and she can see who it is, and she can buzz them in. And it also allows for contactless unlocking of the door. It has key fobs. So the people that are assigned key fobs, obviously those aren't easily duplicated, which is sometimes a problem with municipal buildings. If they haven't bought the secure locks and keys, this is operated off key fobs, and obviously those are much more difficult to get around. So I don't know how much it costs. I'm going to be in West Monroe tomorrow, and I'll probably ask them how much does this get up cost, but so far they've been pretty happy with it. So I just thought I would mention that to you as a possibility if that was something that would serve your needs.
And
that's all I have for you for tonight.
Any other questions or thoughts?
Okay. And again, my apologies.
No problem. Glad you were able to get here.
Glad I was able to be here.
County legislator, Herb.
Well, I'm running late. Rich Land, the zoning officer, did a lot of talking. He was up for 40 minutes and I left. So I'm running late. But I got the legislator scheduled for the legislator meetings this coming up. It's a whole for the next year. And also got to hear this. I talked with everybody on it. Like, I'm on the health committee and human services, but you pull up of every legislator, what committee he's on, who's the chairman of that committee, and the vice chair. So I give, I'll give that to you. And the quick history lesson on Camp House. It's on the other side of the county, but it started back in 1946. And it's, I mean, they really use it a lot in the summertime, but I want to use Camp Palace. I want to make Camp Zerbe like Camp Palace. That's what I like to say. Because they put a lot of money into Camp Palace. And Camp Zerbe has been left out along the way. They got a new well system there now. They got a new septic. But Camp Zerbe is a beautiful place. It's got 400 acres there that can be used. And I think everybody on this side of the county would really enjoy it. They got picnic areas and all that. And that's my goal, is to make Camp Zerbe like Camp Powell. But it's a pretty good who started and stuff. I might have already given you this, but it's the testing sites all over the county. It's only for the testing, but they have them in Oswego, Plaski, Fulton, Central Square. That's a listing of all the what phone numbers to call and all that. So you get that posted. And the county's been doing quite a lot of testing. I think as about 3 or 4 days ago, they've done up to almost 4,000 so far. But we're limited on how many tests we get. We never know how many we're going to get. I mean, you might not come 2 days in there. You might get 100, you might get 500. You don't know. So the county's having a hard time with the state because they don't tell them in advance. But it is working. I mean, they had their biggest test in one day. It was 961 people living the day. So we got the capacity to do it, but we just don't have vaccines.
Right, but you're talking about the vaccine, not the test, right?
Yeah, the vaccines itself. Okay. I got my first shot, and I got it down to Kenny's Drugs by accident. I mean, you know, you got to go to every Kenny's Drugs in upstate New York and see if there's an opening, but one popped up his last guy.
Well, I know our dog control officer isn't here tonight because he went to Potsdam to get his shot.
That's what they want. They want. The only opening was I tried to get on was Canton. They had him in Camden. And the time you fill out all the information's gone. You know, it's closed down. So my niece, of course, they keep a lot more computer smart than I am. She said, don't put all that information in. She said, just put your driver's license in, and then put your, if you have a Medicare, if you're over 65, put that in. Then put NA on all the other stuff. She said, because you fill everything out, that website's going to be closed down before you get it done. So that's what he did, and I got through a blaster. So. Now the health department is working with the school sports. The schools, my grandson just started basketball. The parents can't go watch, nobody else can, but it's going to be on YouTube, I guess. So the health department, the state dropped that on our health department. They got to set up all the rules. So these are all the rules for the schools, kids going to school. What they got to do, what the parents got to do, and everything. So. And they also, if you have an appointment and you can't make it, if you you call ahead of time, county will make sure you get there. There's a free rights up service. So if a senior or somebody's got an appointment, they can't get there, they call this number, and a couple of days ahead of time, and they'll get you picked up. That's true. As far as the virus goes, it's on its way back down, and we were up over 1,200 one time, now we're back down to 464. That's February 4th, so it is coming back down. I mean, on the 29th of January, we had 488 active cases. And on the 5th of January, we had 571, so it's coming down slowly. Hopefully, more people get vaccinated, more people play by the rules. We have less viruses going around. With that, it's up to number of deaths so far is 85 in the county. So it's a horrible disease. Any other questions?
Nope, I don't think so.
Could I add two more related things to what the legislator said?
Absolutely.
First is I'd like to commend Oswego County because for years now, when they've done their flu shot vaccinations, they've done a certain number of basically mass inoculation drills, treating it like they had to do a lot of people in a short time. And I think that experience has probably helped Oswego County with doing what they're doing now, where, as you said, the problem isn't doing it, the problem is getting the vaccine to be able to do it. So Oswego County was ahead of the curve on that one. The other thing I thought I would mention when you mentioned about Potsdam is that Tug Hill staff are actually participating in the inoculation program. We have three of our staff and several of them have gone up to Potsdam for multiple days to help with all the paperwork. There's one that's been in training to be able to do the injection because she has a medical background. But we've also had people just doing the paperwork that needs to be done to run the whole thing. So Tug Hill staff has been an active participant in helping with that effort.
Thank you, Herb.
All right. Actually, all the county got to pass out the vaccine. They did with Girl Scouts cookies. All the cookies come into this one location, hundreds of boxes by the tractor trailer pole. And the county did that practice.
Yeah.
They dispersed the cookies all over. And they got nationwide on that.
Yep. All that practice pays off.
Girl Scout cookies.
Yep. Serving two purposes at the same time. I like my thin mints.
Okay, highway superintendent, Ted's not here. He had a procedure today. Hopefully he'll be up and around directly, but Ed Bennett's here. If we have any questions, I know that we kind of got the water problems fixed. It ended up being there was a pipe broken, and I think because the pump ran so much trying to pump water, the pump burned out, so we replaced the pump and the broken pipe, and I think you got good water now, correct?
Yep.
Anybody got any questions for Ed? Are you getting tired?
Am I getting tired?
Yeah.
A little bit. I haven't been up since 2:30.
Yes. To follow up the last time you and I spoke about that training.
Yep.
I haven't found anything for that particular topic.
Because the 2007 needs brakes, and I ordered all brand new brakes from front to back. I got them, just got through last of the parts yesterday. I just got to have somebody come in and show me how to do it.
What about John Roser
out of Orla? He's had one, and he'd come over and show him because he's certified.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
So I'll have to ask him about that. Yeah,
sure. Kind of. Kurt too, because Kurt's certified.
Yeah.
Now you know you don't need to be certified. You know.
I didn't know that.
By state regulation. But you gotta know what you know.
Yeah, I never really worked on the big trucks like that before. Yeah. But after you show me once, I get the other thing.
John or even Kurt.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that would occur, it would be an overtime thing for Ed, because he's gonna have to be off, what, either at night, maybe over a weekend.
Yeah.
I know John, I don't know what shift he works, if he works the same as you or not.
No, he works a night shift, or day shift, I mean. But I was talking about having Kurt come in at 6 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, on John's shift.
Then you'd have to come in too, right?
Yeah. But the way I hear it, it shouldn't take that long to do all the breaks with three people doing it, so.
Yeah, with two parts.
No.
Okay. Thanks for coming, Ed.
Yep.
Steve didn't have anything. Superintendent of Cemeteries, on the. Sorry? We did have a sale of a plot. That was basically the action this month, and unrelated to the cemetery, we had talked about, and of course, that just left, right? We talked about having the highway department gas up at the Elmer Union Station. I talked to Brenda about it, gave her the forms, those forms that we wrote up, to make sure that we're recording the proper, whether it's diesel or gas or premium or whatever, which vehicle it's going in and who's getting it. So I need to get with her and Ted, make sure that we list what employees would have the ability to go there and get gas, so that we can record everything. But I think that's moving forward slowly, so that shortly, we won't have to drive all the way to class to get gas, we can get it right here locally.
You were gonna check with Blair down there? Did you ever do that?
I did not, I was going to, and I did not.
Can you just send him an email and have him respond by email?
Absolutely.
Just so that we got it, and we can put that in a minute?
Yep. Did you have any comments or anything, Brenda? As long as you're here. Code enforcement.
Okay. For January, I had one permit renewal, I issued two new permits, one for a house and one for a shed. Took in a total of $260 in permit fees, issued one camper permit for $50, for a total of $310, given to the town clerk. I actually issued four certificates of compliance, she says two, but it's actually four, and one seasonal certificate of compliance. And I had one formal complaint that I'm with that.
Have a good night, folks.
You too, thank you.
Any questions for her? Is that here tonight? So the fire department report is as follows. January 2021 had 21 calls. Beginning January 2021, check register $3,104.40. Deposit from the contract $31,100 for a total of $34,204.40. Monthly expenses for January $3,657.36. checking balance moved forward to February, $30,547.04. Out of that first contract check of $51,100, $31,100 went into checking, and $24,000 went to the truck fund. Any questions for Bill about that? Okay, we finally got the lease agreement for Shepherd's Pond done. She adjusted, is now currently the, as it always has been, the northwest corner of the intersection of State Route 13 and Mexico Street. And we also added the town allows the usage of the pond to host the annual Esposito Fishing Derby and regularly allows members of the public to fish on the pond. And there is no objection from the fire department for that. It's been going on. And those were the only two changes from last month when I read the whole thing. Any question or comments? Bill, you good? Well, finally, as I wrote to Rebecca, if I don't accomplish anything else in my time, I've got this lease for Shepherd's Pond on.
Need a motion?
Yeah, probably. Could I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
Bye. Thanks. NOCA. Oops, sorry, wait a minute, gotta back up. Bill wanted to talk briefly at least about LED lighting in the bays again.
I don't remember what Monty discussed that when Brian first came here. It was midsummer, I believe.
Yes.
The replaced, I think 12 bulbs. Also gave us a quote for LED lighting, which I believe was right around 1,000, maybe 960. I'm not sure. I'm sure you have that.
I do.
He was here again 2 weeks ago to replace 13 more. And that puts us up about $400 so far. So I'm wondering if changing them to LED isn't really the answer. We got $400 invested in a, you know.
I remember Brian's quote was significantly lower than the guy that we had from the company that you had contacted through National Grid. Obviously, I would be in favor of having a local guy do the work if that's something, if that's the direction that we want to go in.
One thing you want to remember too is also the bulbs that are gone there now, the existing bulbs are 33 watt. And the new LED lighting would be 13 watts. So there is significant savings in energy.
Everyone I've talked to says that's the way to go, but I know that Aaron, during his tenure, replaced all the street lights with LED, and we really didn't see that much savings, right?
Not really. Not as much as we should.
Right. So sometimes,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure it's worth it. Though.
I wonder if it'll be a bright.
Brian claims brighter. I've never been around these new, you know, basically out there 110 or 120 volt bulb.
It'll be just like going up to the highway line. I mean, you can see in there, it's considerably brighter than it's ever been.
And Brian claims that they're really don't replace many of them. I don't know. I'm not in that business, but
I've heard that from other people.
He claims they last forever.
Yep, they last forever. Let's, I'll talk to Brian again. Maybe we can get an updated quote and see what we got to do from there. Sound reasonable?
Fair enough.
Anything else for Bill? Noka? Stephanie?
I asked about your truck, Bill, and they didn't know what I was talking about. I got a young lady that works at Fulton is helping them do the HR program and do the payroll thing. Last year it was $20,000. This year it's going to be $8,000 more because she's going to do so much HR stuff to bring them up to date. Financially, they're in good shape. And the only thing they had to do is they had to renew all the warranty things and pay the medical director. I asked them about a fee because they're so down. They said they could not give any monies unless they got the okay from all the towns. But they will go over and ask them if they wanted to be mentored and said she'd go over and look at their records and stuff to see if she could do anything to help them financially, you know, with anything. So I don't know. Other than that.
Noka's going to help McPhee, you mean? Or?
Yeah, they're going to offer to mentor them to have a couple of meetings to help them because they're so far in debt. That, and I didn't know they had, that they got monies from the town that they take care of. And Ann said, well, they just probably need to help it. But that's what they did for here. So.
Okay. Amy, town clerk.
For the month of January, I took in and dispersed $407. Town received $385 and had Margaret received $22. Issued 20 dog licenses, 19 renewals and one original. I canceled one dog because the dog is deceased. And I issued 2 certified copies of the marriage. I sent out 9 dog licenses renewals for February and 7 night dog licenses for January, and I gave them to the 17th of this month. I entered 2 building permits, 1 renewal and 1 original, and 2 camper permits. Petty cash is at $25 as of February 2nd. And here is a check for $690,953.31, which is the tax warrant for 2021. And the reason I did not get the January's minutes done. I did the organizational minutes, but I collected $1,124,934.17 in January. I was quite busy. January is done. Goodness.
Do you need this receipt back? Or did you?
Okay, thanks. Other than that, not much is slowing down. I'm catching up on my other minutes. Will be done by the end of this week for January, and February will be shortly followed.
Questions for Amy? I have a motion to accept your report. Second.
Okay, say that again. Who made the motion?
Rick made the motion.
Second.
Dick Corliss seconded.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Supervisor's report. The general money market interest, $174.33. Justice fees and fines for January, $3,783. Clerk fees were $150. Building and junkyard permits, $520. Other compensation for loss, $476.19. Since it's $40, total of $5,143.52. Highway money market interest was $25.93. County snow and ice reimbursement, $111,420. And the 2024 quarter sales tax, $17,797.66. For a total of $129,243.59. Disbursements. Biweekly payroll number one, $2,310.66. Biweekly payroll number two, $2,414.38. Abstract number one, $68,895.11. Comptroller fees, $2,808. General pay number one, $7,140.13. Teamster Health and Hospital, $1,074.64, for a total of $84,642.92. Highway money market disbursements. Abstract number one, $9,729.06. Highway biweekly payroll number one, $11,670.16. Biweekly payroll number two, $10,696.52. Total of $32,095.74. Our account balances as of 1/30/2020. General money market, $1,332,413.14. General checking, $33,806.02. Highway money market, $363,701. Highway checking, $35,306.93. Trust and agency, $12,493.57. Cemetery, $166,811.34. The total of $1,944,532. Questions, comments? Motion to accept?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Did you get, last month we talked about the CDs or financial or pension for an account? Did you ever check into that?
I did not. I have it written down right on my desk.
Something you plan on doing for 9 months period?
Again? I will definitely check it. I've just been
The one that you got before, it was much better than the ones that I got. Wasn't it almost 3% or something like that? Maybe more.
You mean back earlier last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but that was before the COVID. Remember? And as soon as when the COVID hit, it tanked to like less than 1%.
Oh, literally?
Yeah. But I will look. Again, I will call.
That was key, or don't you remember? I can't remember.
Yes, that was key. Okay, general bills. Questions, comments?
The pump is definitely a lot of money.
Yes, I thought the same thing when I saw that.
I don't understand why our own employees couldn't fix that.
Well, I think the pump was shot.
Yeah. I won't say $2,200 is a lot of money. $1,600 in labor. Yeah. That's a lot.
I was just going to say, I will not change one. I'd be more than happy to go through that. Wow.
And that's on highways.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't have any, didn't see anything on it in general that I, you have some highway stuff there, but.
Okay, let's do the general. Motion to accept.
Motion.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Highway business. Any other questions, comments, other than the pump replacement?
Yeah, who did it?
Precision plumbing.
Precision plumbing.
Precision, okay, but, so I know who not to call.
What's that?
So I know who not to call.
Well, it's done a lot of work previously.
Yep.
Without that type of thing happening, so.
They retired.
Yeah.
Anything else? Motion to accept.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I don't know what these guys, I think.
We should look at page 69 when we audit those.
Okay. Page 69 in the blue book. Old business. Briefly, last time we talked about a townwide spring junk pickup. Do we want to continue that? Want me to investigate? I think it's kind of a nice idea.
Yeah.
Have you done it in the past, Aaron? You had.
We had done it previously.
The only thing I worry, if you don't have somebody there.
You're gonna get a lot of.
Yeah. I mean, we can, you just set a dumpster there, people are gonna throw.
What are we researching a little bit? I'll talk with Weavestone and some of the other townships that do it. Before, when we did it, we actually took the dump truck and the loader to every road, they had it off that road. I don't really want to get into that effect.
Okay.
I don't want to cause us extra work.
Right.
But maybe clean it up and do it.
Get kids outside.
What's that?
Get kids outside, they've been stuck inside doing remote learning on computers all year, so.
Get them outside cleaning up, you mean?
Just outside. Everybody's going to stare crazy. Good community relations.
I'm gonna check, please.
I'll check with other townships.
Okay.
Okay, we also touched on the solar moratorium, and I had forwarded you guys some information. Parrish and Paul gave me some information, and I talked with Matt Johnson as well via email. It's, initially I thought it was pretty easy. It's not as easy as I thought, of course, because like I said earlier, nothing's ever easy. Do you want to move forward with it? I think it's in our best interest, really, to get something out there so that they can cram these things on our throat, because the governors, as you know, we all know, issued, you know, an easy pathway to get any of these things done. So maybe, Paul, do you think Matt is the guy to talk to on all this, and maybe get together with him a little more? And
sure. Two thoughts on that. First is the moratorium itself is not difficult. You need to pass a local law, which means you need to go through the local law procedure, which means you need to develop it, do a public hearing, adopt it, and file it. All that can be done pretty quickly, and you thought it was urgent. You could even have a special meeting to do some of those things. So you can have moratorium in place fairly quickly and fairly easily. And yes, Matt would be available to work with you on developing it. And what the moratorium does is it basically, again, you can customize the moratorium to what you want. And what a lot of municipalities have said is they're not really all that concerned about an individual landowner having wind or solar on their land on a household scale. What they're concerned about is large scale wind and solar farming. So they sculpt their moratorium. So that's what the moratorium is on. And the sole purpose of the moratorium is to buy yourself the time you need to work through the matters that you want to control completely and on a timely basis. So, you know, you don't drag your feet. It's not an excuse for you to drag your feet. The moratorium is typically for 6 months, and you can extend it if you need to after that. It's the same process, the local law process. And you're only supposed to do that if you really need it. You need to basically be able to justify that you've been working on it in between. So you can't pass a moratorium and then just sit back for 6 months and say, oh, yeah, we should probably get to work on that. So it's meant to be something where it's a purposeful thing, a thing on your time to give you the time you need to do things in a reasonable way. So those, but as I said, Matt would be available to work with you if you, both on the moratorium, which is, as I said, pretty straightforward, and also on developing the actual controls.
Okay.
Paul, you said moratorium is like a local law?
It is a local law.
But only good for 6 months?
It would be effective for 6 months, correct.
Okay.
And what do you gain during that?
Well, basically what the moratorium does is it puts a brake on anybody doing a large-scale wind or solar development. If they were planning on doing it, if it isn't already in way when you pass the moratorium, it stops right there.
You don't even have to consider an application.
Yep.
You don't have to look at it. Or yep. It didn't even happen.
Yep.
Right, but then you need to...
And then you need to work on the law and get that adopted.
So you work on a little law, just like our cell phone law.
Yeah.
That would handle...
You have to work on that local control, and once the moratorium goes off, and it's going to be up to 6 months. You can call it off earlier than that if you're ready before that.
So the moratorium gives you the time to develop the law.
To develop the law, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the two steps. You get the moratorium to buy yourself the time, and then you do the development of whatever controls you think are appropriate for your community.
Okay. Thank you. I missed that somehow. So I'll get with Matt Johnson, come up with some plan, and see what we do from there. They have to call a special meeting to initiate that, correct?
Okay.
And some, maybe Matt has some samples of other municipalities.
Oh, he sure does.
You know,
because he's worked with other communities in Tugel on that.
So we can get moving on that, maybe not take 6 months, but...
Yeah. It doesn't have to be real complicated.
Yeah, the one from Barish was pretty, fairly
straightforward.
There were some things in there that wouldn't necessarily be right for us. We had to make some changes. Okay, any other old business?
And then, were you going to bring up the Zoom meeting or not? The highway building,
we talked about it.
That's old business. I mean,
it's,
I guess.
We had a Zoom on the insurance claim resolution on Monday morning with our agent, Eastern Shore, Nymer, and two outside consultants plus fire adjuster. Topic was the value of the claim on the building, excess liability coverage. The excess is supposed to handle any cost, including doing business. So in our case, the storage trailer, in the doors temporarily as well, inside But one of the bigger items was the pair of the trucks that we bought long after COVID. Because the amount was over $20,000. And we didn't want to win this now. The thing, we finally got through the guy. That's not our plan. That's for cash value, regardless of what we, which is no repairs before we allow, they're supposed to pass what the agreed actual cash value is. The biggest item of dispute right now, there's many of them, most of them are smaller, but the biggest item of dispute is the concrete floor of the grading pieces. Obviously, we haven't replaced the concrete floor of the grading pieces. I'm convinced that the tubing has been damaged. The temperature when the fire department went in was 770 degrees. So that any plastic that gets those sort of temperatures applied to it is going to be great. So in my mind right now, it's glass tubing inside this thing. So if we get a crack before, the tubing's going to crack. And then we do have to take up the whole floor or sections of it and repair it. So they're saying, well, you didn't do that yet. And we're saying, we don't have to. That's the value of our building. You have to pay us for that. So right now there's about a $300,000 dispute between everything, and we've offered to get $130,000 just to make it go away and have everybody be a little unhappy. They're supposed to let us know by the end of this week. We're lucky Chuck by the end of this week. Probably let us know next week.
Would that prohibit us from fixing the floor if something does break in the future? I mean, from having an insurance claim, if that piping in the floor?
We couldn't claim that.
No.
No. Okay. No, this would cover the cost of that.
Gotcha.
In theory, there's four or five zones in that floor, so we should be able to isolate where any major problems are if something does happen. So you should be able to just sort of surgically cut out areas. They've got, they're almost like x-ray machines that work on concrete floors. So you can lay out where every tube is and find where you can cut and then remove it. Sort of surgical way after it. That's where we're at. Hopefully we don't have an issue.
They didn't, at first were not very responsive. I didn't think, but maybe towards the end, at least they got a little bit of
talking. Once one of the consultants started talking more, there's one guy that really, he's the flying ointment. And you just couldn't get him to budge. And I think a couple of the other people from the insurance side were starting to push him a little bit, and he finally started to give in. That's what we needed. We needed a phone call, because his response has always just been rejected. For no reason, just reject it, send it back.
Now that was Mike, right?
Mike Coffin. Yeah. Pat Young was the guy that was,
yeah,
he's on our side.
Yeah.
He's not on our side.
Right.
He agrees with our position.
He's the guy that said, what was it, TJ? Right.
Right, it's TJ. Yeah, that's our adjustment.
But once this is completed, then we can get a report to the constituents, want to know what's been done, what happened, and the money, and so on and so forth. So
yeah.
That we should have some type of resolution before too long.
Probably not true.
Okay. Any other old business? Okay, new business. We have a letter from the State Department of Transportation, which apparently they're going to do some work on 81, which we obviously, the town of Elgin jumped out of 81 for a very short distance. Basically, they're just telling us that they're going to be doing construction, and because of that, they will have restrictions, speed limits, weights, dimensions, white vehicles, things like that. will be posted and restricted. And I think they're just asking for us to say, yes, we got this, and we know that that's going to happen. All right, so it's in our minutes. We've got it. We understand that there will be some work, and that's all we need to do. Briefly, I want to talk about this public employer health emergency plan for the town of Albion. Paul helped me with that one day a couple weeks ago, and I submitted it. We had to have it to the union by the 4th of February, which they do have it. The directions are simply that we have to give them a reasonable amount of time to comment on it. We don't have to make any changes based on what they say, but they need to have a time to read it over and comment if they have any comments. I have not heard anything from them yet. It's only been a few days. And then once it's done, I don't remember, do we even have to?
You have to adopt it.
You have to adopt it, but that's it. It doesn't get submitted.
It doesn't have to be submitted, just kept on file.
So that's a done deal, and thank you for your help, Paul. I don't think I would have got through that by myself. Changes to the New York State tax law. For distressed provider assistance. Dear Town Supervisor Faulkner, I am writing to communicate important information about the distribution of local sales tax revenue in Oswego County beginning in February 2021. Changes to New York State tax law require the Office of the State Comptroller to withhold local sales tax collections from counties in quarterly installments and deposit these funds into the distressed provider assistance to fund financially distressed hospitals and nursing homes. The Office of the State Comptroller is required to withhold $282,941 from sales tax distributions to Oswego County on February 4th, 2021. If your municipality has a sales tax sharing agreement or arrangement with Oswego County, the new state tax law provisions could impact the amount of funds available for sharing under that agreement or arrangement. So, good to know. I believe we do have such an agreement, so we'll be taking a hit.
I'm sure of that.
I need a copy of that in my file.
Regarding that franchise agreement with Charter Communications, I've been in contact with Alice Kim. Questioned her basically if she could give me some idea that I could communicate to you on what it was. Can you explain a little about the franchise agreement you'd like me to sign now? We have a board meeting tomorrow night, and I'd like to be able to give the other board members some info. Is it a standard form that all towns have? No money exchanges hands. Is 15 years standard amount of time? Thanks for any info. She wrote me back, this is a pretty standard agreement that we have to execute with every municipality that we serve with cable television. Most of the document outlines state and federal regulation. The current agreement with the town is for 0% no fee. The town has the option to implement a franchise fee, which is outlined in Section 10 of the draft agreement provided to you. The legal limit for the franchise fee is 5%. So the town can implement a franchise fee anywhere between 0 and 5%. The franchise's fee is passed through to subscribers, so cable television subscribers will see a line item on their bill for the fee based on cost of their television services. The New York State Public Service Commission rules allow for the agreement to be 15 years, but if the town would like a shorter term, we would sign a 10-year term. If you have any other concerns, please let me know. So before we get into that, if you want to, They are paying us back the $433 that we had to pay last year. If you remember, the county sent us, how did that work, Amy? They took it out of our...
They didn't pay their Time Warner bill to the county. The county wanted their money, so we had to pay out of what was left over from the interest and late fees, the $433.70. Back to the county.
Right, so they are reimbursing.
So now, yeah, we'll get the money back this year.
Mike, could I offer a observation, a current factor on whether you decided to impose a franchise fee? What that didn't mention is that if you impose a franchise fee, the Time Warner or Spectrum or whatever it is allowed to deduct that from the amount of money that would otherwise pay for the physical facilities in town, the real property, the cable, all the stuff that they have that they pay taxes on, even though they may not own property. They have all these facilities in town that they pay taxes on. Whatever they have to pay you through the franchise fee, they can deduct off the tax bill they pay to you. So it's not zero for them, except that now they're going into the cable customer's pocket and taking a couple more dollars out. So what it basically does is it lets the utility raise the rates by charging the consumers more and not pay any more to the town in the end, unless, and this is, I've never seen this happen, unless you did the calculation and you found out that 5% of the bill added up to more than the grand total of what you're paying in taxes. I've never seen that, but I suppose it's theoretically possible. I don't know what they're assessed for in town. But in most cases, it's a net zero, and you know the cable company comes out just fine. You don't come out any further ahead. So a point worth considering.
Other than all the people that get a cable bill can go, oh, town of Elby and send us.
Yeah, there is that, and everybody who gets satellite doesn't have to pay that.
Right. So I think go with it as it is.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I got a question for you. You deal with Town and Parish quite a little bit.
Sure.
I spoke to them, and they are totally against this because there's another cable company that wants to come to the Town and Parish, and this restricts the other company from coming into business. Is that correct?
I do not believe that is correct in two respects. First is there is another company that wants to offer video services. It wouldn't be cable, but you may know you heard about them getting high-speed internet townwide via fiber optic, and that the people who are providing that want to provide video services as well. I don't know where they were on that, but they were going to be pursuing that. However, I think if you look at the agreement you have, and it's probably basically the same as Parrish has, I believe these are all non-exclusive franchises. So you could offer, if you had a half a dozen parties, if the phone company wanted to offer video services, they could do it. The likes of the internet company wants to do it, you've already got a company that's in the cable business that is doing it. They're all non-exclusive, so it doesn't shut anybody else out, and it doesn't cut down on competition. And that's the case in Parrish as well.
I believe that's true. I read that whole thing and I remember that because I thought the same thing, nobody else can come in, but it says right in there that it's not exclusive.
I believe it would say, yeah, right up front in the document that it's a non-exclusive franchise.
So do you want to move ahead and set it, because we have to have a public hearing date before we can sign that agreement and send it back to them. Prior to next month.
March?
Yep.
We'll be auditing my books prior to the meeting at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, or 6:15. Shouldn't take very long. Right. Or 6:30 if you want. However you want to do it.
Do it at 6:30.
Just start immediately after. Okay, yeah, we'll do that at 6:30. We've met. Okay, we're getting towards the end here, if I know. Sorry, apologize. We have this standard workday reporting resolution for the retirement system that we have to pass this resolution stating the standard work days for the town justice, the town clerk, the highway superintendent, the assessor, and the court clerk. And then it has to be posted for 30 days. Then it has to be sent to the retirement system so that everything is in order, because as of right now, they have suspended the retirement of the town justice, the assessor, and the town clerk. So I have been many hours figuring this all out in contact with a guy from the retirement system who's been very helpful, but everything has to literally, I's dotted, T's crossed. It's unreal, the amount of stuff. So anyway, resolution, they actually send you the resolution. Be it resolved, the town of Albion, location code 30206, hereby established following standard work days for these titles, and will report the officials to the New York State and local retirement based on their record of activities, which they have all completed. Howard Allen is the town justice, is a 6-hour standard work day. Amy Ford is the town clerk, 6-hour standard work day. Ted Bennett is the highway superintendent, 8-hour standard work day. Michael Maxwell, assessor, 6-hour standard workday. Janice Condis, court clerk, 6-hour standard workday. So, then Amy fills out the rest, and then we post it, and then she sends it out. So, and I have a motion to accept.
Are you talking every day that they do that?
What do you mean?
The town justice has a 6-hour work day.
That's their standard work day. And then from that, the hours, for instance, Buddy works 4.7 hours per month. That's how much he gets, goes to the retirement system. Mike Maxwell, the assessor, is 3.23 days. So everything's based on that length of work day. Formula.
Yeah, it's not every day.
No.
But it's changed from what we had before the resolution.
Yes. No, not necessarily. What changed is the amount of hours after that calculation. So Buddy used to be at 10 hours per month. He's now down to 4.75 hours, just because of the way everything's changed in the court system.
Yep.
So we had to do a new adjustment. So that's why that happened. And they actually did the record of activity back in 2018, and they passed this resolution, but apparently they got lost in the mail somehow or another, and they never got the final copy sent in. So we had basically had to redo it, because he said, well, it's too long now, it doesn't count anymore, you gotta redo it again. So it's unbelievable, the amount of stuff.
In New York?
Yep, exactly.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Amy?
Yes.
That's coming to you, you gotta sign and...
Oh yeah, I already pulled that up. Okay. My copy.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So let's make sure we get that posted, and then I can get it mailed to them, and hopefully we'll be done with it. And finally, the last thing. Could I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss the, let's see, matters leading to dismissal, removal, promotion, appointment, employment, discipline, demotion, or suspension of a particular employee, particular person? Sorry. Second?
Yep.
All in favor? Brenda, would you join us, please?
Cemetery is available.
Yeah.
Must be somebody in the cemetery.
Here.
Gee, Tom.
I got it.
I 14.
863.
Aaron, I have a question for you. You know what we discussed in there, how we publicly say what we're gonna do?
If you're gonna change his pay, you just, somebody, you say it, somebody make a motion, you pass.
Okay.
It's just like doing your appointed position, like the organization meeting. Doing it in this meeting instead of that.
Okay.
Just make a motion, pass it, you know.
Okay, we discussed and arrived that we would raise Jesse Farmer's pay to $14 per hour and $17 for burial per hour. Can I have a motion to accept that?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay, who did first?
I did first. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now $14 an hour for what?
Maintenance.
Maintenance?
Okay. Yep.
And what for burial?
$17.
Minutes.
Okay.
Is there any other new business?
We're just talking about this.
That would be like tomorrow night.
Okay.
Well, we talked about it after. Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, you come.